Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
January 31st, 2006, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Well, welcome aboard for podcast number, I believe we're up to 16 or something right now. It's pretty exciting stuff. And today I'm going to talk about scanning tips. Scanning tips. It's really a cool topic, and if you've been reading my weblog posts on the Digital Story site, you know that I've been working on this article for Macworld magazine about scanning and how to digitize all those great prints and slides and stuff that you have in the archives so that you can bring them into Lightroom, Aperture, iPhoto, iView Media, whatever you're using to organize all of your stuff. It's kind of a shame. I mean, almost all of us were film photographers at one time, unless you're, you know, just like totally new to this whole gig and it came in the digital age. But the rest of us have a lot of really good stuff, or at least sentimental stuff from the past that is sort of outside of our workflow right now because it's in the form of prints and slides and stuff that we can't put into our slideshows and DVDs and, you know, all those, you know, fun output kind of things that we like to do right now. So we kind of came up with this idea about, well, you know, we should really write about building some kind of workflow for bringing in our analog work in with our digital work so that we can, you know, have our stuff that is, you know, older than 5 years old or older than 10 years old right alongside the stuff that we're shooting right now. It's really, really kind of a cool topic. So what I want to talk about today is the scanning part of it. I mean, there's all sorts of aspects to this, but I want to talk about the scanning part of it now because one of the questions that I get from people is, well, you know, what numbers do I put in all those little boxes when my scanner driver, you know, pops up on my screen? Do I do 300, you know, DPI or PPI? Do I do 600? Do I do 1200? Why do film scanners have 2,000 and 3,000 and 4,000? I mean, what's going on here? So I just want to give you a few tips today to help you navigate all those dialog boxes so that when you do scan, because, you know, let's face it, scanning takes some time. And if you are going to spend the time to do it, you want it, you know, to come out right. You want to do it right. And so to make sure that you put the right numbers in those boxes so that you get the kind of scans that you want and that they are good for, you know, for actually forever. So that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what I'm going to talk about today, scanning tips. A little bit of housekeeping first. First of all, since this is the January 31st show, that means that today is the last day to turn in your photo assignment for the month of January, which is ice, right? Ice, that's what we're talking about this month. And I have to tell you, I'm getting some good entries on the assignment. I want more, always want more, because the more that we have to look at and choose from, the more that I can put up on the site and you know, choose the best stuff. So if you're sitting on your ice shot, you can't sit much longer. You got to get that bad boy in there. Turn it, send it in, get it in today, and then we're going to start with the February assignment, which will be fur. Yes, fur. I know I'm asking for trouble with this one. I mean, I thought about it before, but I still want to do it. And the reason why I'm asking for trouble is, okay, here's the thing that I don't want. I don't want, you know, a shot of your cat curled up on the couch sleeping. Okay. And, you know, especially if you take it from like 8 feet away, you know, with direct flash, That's not a good entry for fur. All right. Now, if you get in like really close and study the texture, or you know, if you have a pet marmot, or you know, if you do something, you know, that's very creative. I'm not going to give you any tips, but you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, your favorite pet. It can be all sorts of interesting things. So, fur. That's our assignment for February. And start thinking about it. And, you know, this is a chance to be either really creative or just like cave in and do the most mundane thing in the world. I'm hoping you're going to go creative on me. Okay. And I'm going to mention two other things real quick. Grab shots. They've slowed down a little bit lately. So send one in if you can. And if you don't have anything on hand, what better excuse to take your camera next time you go out bopping around? You never know, you might run into something. So grab shots, keep them going. And finally, I want to thank those of you who went over to the iTunes music store, those of you that get this podcast that way, and posted a reader review, or a listener review, I guess it would be. Thank you very much. And what's happening is exactly what I wanted to happen, which is, you know, each of you kind of saying something a little bit different. And that way, when people are considering the show, you know, they can look at all of your remarks, and some of them may resonate, and the person tries it out. Or, you know, it could go the other way, where the person reads the stuff and goes, hey, you know, I don't really need something that's, you know, technical right now. I just want to do French maids or something, whatever works for you. But at any rate, your comments help other people make the decision whether or not to download the show, and I really appreciate it. And if you were thinking about doing it and haven't done it yet, head on in there. I really think the more comments, the better, because it gives people a better feel for what's going on. All right, so much for housekeeping. Let's get into scanning. So, you know, one of the things about scanning, and this is sort of at, as I've been thinking, and I've been thinking about this a lot lately, you know, kind of at the core of the whole thing is this thing called PPI or DPI, depending on, you know, old school or new school. Old school is DPI, which stands for dots per inch, and that came out of, and I actually used to do this when I was a newspaper reporter, photographer, where you actually put a screen over the print that you made, and it you make a halftone, and you had these different screens at these different resolutions, and those, they were actually dots, and that's where dots per inch came from. To my knowledge, of course, you know, right away, as soon as I say that, eight people are going to write and say, oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about. It came from this or that. But that's my experience with it. And then in the computer age, then, you know, especially with Photoshop and everything, you start hearing PPI more, which is pixels per inch. And essentially, you know, we're talking about the same type of measurement. I'm going to use PPI today because I just think it's a little bit more germane to what we're all doing right now. And as I've talked about before, of course, when you take a picture, most of the time your camera records at 72 PPI. Some cameras a little bit differently, but generally speaking, and that is the resolution for what we look at on our monitors, and that's sort of the default digital resolution. And it works great until you get to making prints. When you make prints, quite honestly, those pixels at 72 PPI just are not close enough together for a good print. And that's why if you don't change the resolution and you just make a print at 72 PPI, it looks kind of what we call digital. And you don't really like that. You don't really want that. So there are other resolutions that we change it to make our prints look better. Now, you're probably right away wondering, well, what the heck does this have to do with scanning? Well, in my opinion, it has everything to do with scanning, because when you're trying to figure out what numbers to put in that scanning dialogue box, when what you're really trying to figure out is how much resolution you need to do the things with that scan later on that you want to do. I mean, how big a print later on do you need to make from that source material that you're scanning? And this all has to do with pixels per inch. Okay. Now, generally speaking, when we're making a print, I use one of two resolutions. 150 ppi is what I consider sort of the minimum resolution. And you can make, depending on the kind of print you have, or the kind of source material you have, a pretty good print at 150 ppi. It looks pretty darn good. If I want something, though, that is really what I call photo quality, I've been using 240 ppi, 240 pixels per inch, and that looks pretty good. Now, a lot of times, you'll hear from magazines and so forth, you know, give me the image at 300 dpi or ppi, and I think that kind of goes back to those days when we were using halftone screens and so forth. I think that was one of the standard sizes. And 300 PPI is definitely a safe route to go. However, I have done some testing, and I've noticed that I have a hard time telling the difference between a print made at 240 and 300. And at 240, I get a little bit more, you know, image size. So I've been using 240 for my high quality. Now, just as a slight digression, people really get confused by this. So I want to just talk about it for a second. They go, well, you know, where do I change this in my digital images? And if you're working in Photoshop, you know, if you go up to image and then go to image size, you get a dialog box that gives you all sorts of numbers. And one of the numbers you'll see is resolution. And most of the time it will be at 72 if it's a shot that came in from your digital camera. So what folks do is say, well, okay, Derek said that I really need to be printing at 240. So they just highlight that 72 and they change it to 240, and all sorts of wacky things happen. Their file suddenly gets a whole lot bigger, and, you know, on and on and on. And the image quality isn't exactly what they had hoped. And that's because what Photoshop is doing is actually resampling your image and adding a whole bunch of pixels. You don't want to do that. You want to just keep the same amount of pixels that you have now. You just want to squish them together a little bit. So the trick is, and I'm not going to dwell on this too much, but the trick is, in the image size dialog box in Photoshop, unclick the box that says resample image. Uncheck it. Make sure it's not checked. And then change the resolution to 150 or 240. Your image size, the file size, won't get any bigger, right? It'll stay the same size, but it will move those pixels closer together and make a good print. So that's the trip for printing. Okay, so now you kind of know, I want to be able to make prints, you know, from the things that I scan in. That's one of the things I want to do. So now what I want to do is talk about how this all plays into the settings that you make when you actually scan the picture. So I'm going to get out of Photoshop here for a second. And I have worked up this nifty chart, and I actually have two charts for you. And they're going to be in the show notes. Okay, so these charts, you know, everything I'm talking about right now will be in the show notes. I have them done. I worked on them all last night, and they turned out really cool. And what they are, I have one for prints and one for slides and negatives. And the print one, what it does is I take source material, like a 4x6 print, a 5x7 print, and an 8x10. So those are the most common sizes that we'll be scanning. And then what I did was I put in, you know, different scan settings and what the ramifications are for each of those settings. So for instance, on a 4x6 print, you can scan it in at 300 ppi And this is one of those mystery boxes, right? In the scanning dialog box that you sort of, you know, what do I put here? Okay. Generally speaking, you will put in one of three settings there. You either put 300 PPI, 600 PPI, or 1200 PPI. Those are sort of the common scanning resolutions. Okay. And we're talking about prints. All right. But, you know, the ramifications for this, you know, are pretty much a big deal. Because check this out. A 4x6 print that you scan at 300 PPI, generally speaking, makes about a 6 megabyte Photoshop file. Okay, so the amount of space it'll take up on your hard drive will be about 6 megabytes. The resolution, you know, which are the dimensions of this image, will be around 1200 by 1800 pixels. Which means that if you make a print from that at 240 PPI, which is, you know, kind of my photo quality thing, you can make a nice 5x7 print. Okay, so what am I saying here? What I'm saying is that if you scan in your image, your print, at 300 PPI, then generally speaking, you can make a print later on about that same size or a little bit bigger. Okay. But what if you want to take that 4x6 snapshot and you want to make a bigger image? You want to make an 8x10 from it. Okay. The key then is to make a different selection when you're setting up the scan. So I'm going to take that same 4x6 print, and now I'm going to scan it in at 600 PPI instead of 300. Okay, so I changed the setting in the box to 600. The file size gets a lot bigger. Suddenly I go from a 6 megabyte file on my hard drive to a 24 megabyte file on my hard drive. And the resolution, instead of 1200 by 1800, it's going to be 2400 by 3600. And again, I'm throwing a lot of numbers at you, but they're all on the site and you can refer to them later. Here's the deal though. Now I can make a 10 by 15 print instead of a 5 by 7 at photo quality from that same source material. So you see what happens is as you up the scanning resolution, as you go from 300 to 600 PPI, when you scan this thing in, that allows you to make a bigger print later on from that same source material. Now, just to be crazy, I scanned it also at 1200 PPI, okay? And now my file size, remember the original file at 300 was a 6 megabyte file, and now I'm all the way up to like a 98 megabyte file. So now I have a big file. But I can make a 20 by 30 photo quality print from that scan. Okay, and that's just changing the scanning resolution while, you know, before I make the scan itself, taking it from 300 pixels per inch to 1200, suddenly I can make a much bigger print. Now that goes on and on and on. I did it for 5x7s, and I did it for 8x10s. So you can look at this chart before you do your scanning and ask yourself the question, okay, you know, I'm scanning a bunch of 4x6s. Am I only going to ever want to do anything, you know, in terms of output, is just do something that's 4x6? Well, if the answer is I'm never going to need to go bigger than that for my output, then you can scan everything at 300 PPI, and you should be fine. Because, you know, all the electronic stuff that you do in terms of slideshows and DVDs and all that, you don't need that much resolution. I mean, that's more resolution than you need for those applications. So at 300 PPI, you've covered everything digitally that you'd want to do. Plus, you can make a print up to 5x7. And if you never want to make a print bigger than that from your 4x6 source material, 300 is the way to go. However, up the road, if you go, but you know, what if I want to make an 8x10 from that shot? Okay, then you have to make then I recommend that you make that decision up front while you're setting up the scan. And instead of scanning it in at 300, scan it in at 600 PPI. Now you have a bigger file size. You got more information to manage. And that has impact on storage and, you know, disk space and all that stuff. But you do have the option of making, you know, up the road up to a 10 by 15 print from this 4 by 6 source material. Okay. So this is pretty cool stuff. And, you know, it's really worth kind of looking at this chart and thinking, what is your scanning strategy before you actually, you know, spend the time scanning? Because believe me, once you scan a print, you're not going to want to go back and scan it later on. Okay. This is hard enough to do, you know, as it is anyway, when you're, you know, originally doing it. And the last thing you're going to want to do is go back through your entire collection and scan everything again because, you know, you scanned it in at too low of a resolution. Now, just a couple tips for dealing with prints when you're scanning. Most scanners these days, flatbed scanners, they're pretty good, and they're very accurate. I was testing my older little Cano scan that was about 4 or 5 years old against a brand new Cano scan, I think the 9500, and I noticed really a big difference in the quality of the images. So, you know, they can do a very good job. Make sure, though, that, you know, you keep the glass clean, the scanning surface clean, and make sure that you also, your prints are clean before you put them on. Because, you know, they're accurate and they're going to scan everything. And that includes, you know, dust and blemishes. So, you know, handle your prints with care. Wipe them off. And use a very soft, you know, photo quality cloth or a microfiber, whatever you want. Try to stay away from using any sort of chemicals and clean them off the best you can and then put them on the scanning surface. And you'll save yourself retouch time later on down the road. Okay. And then also, while you're setting up your scan, I always do a preview first. And that allows me to look at how the material is positioned on the scanning surface there, and then allows me to crop right there in the scanning software anything that I don't need, you know, in terms of edges and so forth. So I'm not scanning more than I need to scan, right? You don't want to scan the whole surface of the glass. You only want to scan, you know, the area where your print is. And that'll save you a whole lot of megabytes, too. So make sure you always do preview first and set up the crop area so that your scanner's only cropping the information that you actually want. Now, I've been scanning black and white, a lot of black and white prints lately because I shot a lot of black and white back in the old days. And I was sort of debating, well, you know, should I scan those in just as grayscale or what? And, you know, where I settled out on this, and I'd actually be curious to hear any comments that some of you have, but I've been scanning them in as RGB, you know, which would be the same way that I would scan in a color print. And the reason being, I just feel like I have more tools to work with later on in Photoshop if it comes in as an RGB file. Especially in terms of, you know, maybe doing some tinting and so forth, than I do if it just comes in as a grayscale image. So my preference, you know, my testing has been I like to scan in my black and whites as RGBs too. But again, that's something that I would be curious to hear something about from those of you out there that are doing this stuff also. All right, let's talk about slide scanners for just a second. Now, slide and negative scanners are a different animal altogether. And, you know, in part because the source material that you're working with there is much smaller. When you're scanning a 35 millimeter slide, you're scanning something that's, you know, 24 by 36 millimeters. not, you know, a 4x6 inch print or a 5x7 inch print. So the scanning PPIs settings are much higher. And generally speaking, the standard settings for slides and negatives are 2,000, 3,000, and 4,000 PPI. And I'm not going to, you know, belabor this too much, but just to give you an idea, if you scan a slide at 2,000 PPI, you can make roughly an 8x12 print. And again, this is at 240 PPI when you're printing it out. And if you scan it in at 3,000 PPI, you can make roughly a 12x18 print. And if you scan at super high resolution, 4,000 PPI, then you can make like a 16x24 from your slide or from your negative. So that's just something to keep in mind. And the file sizes, just like they did with the prints, really grow. So, you know, at 2,000, you know, you get like a 15 megabyte file, and at 3,000, you get like a 34 megabyte file, and 4,000, you get something like a 61 megabyte file. So, again, yeah, and I have the same chart in the show notes, right, with the print. So you have it there, you can refer to it, and I think it'll help you make, you know, scanning decisions as you go into it, okay? All right, so much for the numbers game on our scanning here. And I'm closing a couple things right now here in Photoshop. So let's get back to the difference between slide scanning and print scanning. Now, one of the things that a lot of scanners that you buy today have is something called digital ice. And this is pretty cool stuff, no pun intended. Because you're scanning really at such high magnification, it seems like every little flaw in your slide or negative, you know, gets recorded and magnified. Okay. And so even though you think you have a clean slide or you think you have a clean negative, you start to see a lot of stuff in the scan. So what digital ice is a technology that I first saw in Nikon film scanners, but now I see it in Minolta and other scanners too. And what it does is that it can detect these imperfections during the scanning process and corrects them, gets rid of them. And it's really handy, and especially if you have to scan a whole lot of stuff, digital ice or technologies that are like it will save you a lot of time. Now, that doesn't mean don't clean, you know, your slide or your negative before you go into it. You still need to do that. And by the way, I like to use a big blower bulb to do that. I don't like to use canned air, because canned air, a lot of times, if you don't hold it just right, you can get propellant that sprays on your slide. And I tell you, there's no worse feeling than to, you know, have this precious slide that you're trying to archive, right? And then just cover it in a canned air propellant. It just it's a horrible feeling. So I have on the site, and I'll put a link to it again, you know, the Rocket Blaster, which is this really nice big bulb with a needle tip on it, that you can use it, and it puts a blast of just regular air onto your slide or negative, and does a really good job of blowing dust off. And most of the time, if you've preserved your slides and negatives well, all you got to do is blow them off with a Rocket Blaster, then put them in the scanner, and if you have digital ice, you're in great shape, and off you go. Unfortunately, I haven't seen digital ice type technology for prints. So this seems to be mainly something that I see for scanners that are designed for slides and negatives. Now, some of these scanners do both, right? Like this Canon 9500 that I'm testing right now. It can also do transparencies and negatives. And, you know, in the old days, back in the earlier days of scanners, I didn't think they did a very good job, the scanners that were like the multi-purpose scanners. But if you have, you know, just a handful of slides and negatives that you want to do, and you mainly have prints, this new generation of scanners that has the ability to do transparencies and negatives also, they work pretty well. They work pretty well. The advantage of dedicated slide scanners, to me, is a couple things. The advantages, one is they're more compact. They just take up less space in your work area. The second thing is that you can work faster with them. Their automation is better in terms of getting a whole bunch of slides or negatives through them. Now, the multipurpose things have the advantage that you only need one scanner to handle all your source material. But they're not quite as fast, they're not quite as automated, generally speaking, as the dedicated scanners. So it kind of comes down to, what are you going to be doing for the most part? I'm right now, even though I got a ton of slides, I can't deal with the slide thing right now. I do some scanning, but right now I'm really working on my prints. One last thing, and then I got to wrap it up because I'm already over the 30-minute mark here. But one last thing is, people ask me, well, with my black and white stuff, should I scan the negatives or the print? And my feeling on that is I like to scan the print. And the reason being is the print, especially if you made it, is your interpretation of that negative, okay? Where the negatives is just sort of the raw file that's unprocessed, okay? The print is your, Ansel Adams has this great saying where he compared this process to music. And he said that the negative, and I'm paraphrasing, he said that the negative is like the sheet music, but the print is like the performance. And so I recommend that you scan your performance because that is, where you've done your dodging and burning and all that kind of stuff. Now, you can scan in the negative and, then do all that stuff later in Photoshop. But let's face it, if you've already done that work once, why do it again? So if you like your print, if you have a great print of it, I would scan in the print. It's nice to have the negative, but, again, scan the performance, not the sheet music. All right, well, that is enough to keep our heads spinning for a week, don't you think? And I'm going to put all this material in the show notes. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for posting your customer feedback on the iTunes Music Store. Keep your comments coming on the site. And don't forget about the new photo assignment and keep the grab shots coming. This audience has been growing every week and I'm just thrilled. So I'll see you next week. Until then, happy shooting. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.